mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, it's not just Medicare recipients. All of us will have health insurance decisions to make very soon. Navigating a sea of seemingly endless options that can be difficult to understand, we'll break down the keys to making the most of your benefits package. Also this morning, Wanderlust is coming. The annual fundraiser to benefit Flag City Honor Flight takes a bite out of the Big Apple with a New York theme this year. And happening around town, it won't be long before the Trojans are back out on the ice. Findlay Hockey Day will get fans geared up for the season this Saturday. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, October 10th, 2024. The results are in, and I have them here. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Here they are. Grazer, the giant Bruin, the giant grizzly bear, has won the title of fattest bear in the annual fat bear bracket. This is Grazer's second win in a row, according to the folks at Katmai National Park in Alaska. It's her second win in a row, but the first time a working mom has taken the title. Other mama bears have won in the past, but they were not actively raising cubs at the time. Grazer is. And there was a lot of drama in the fat bear contest this year. Grazer took on Chunk in the finals, and there was a backstory. Apparently, Chunk, a very portly male bear, killed one of Grazer's cubs over the summer. I know. But Grazer, the 800-pound female Bruin, beat Chunk by over 40,000 votes. I think she may have gotten some of the sympathy vote. Many voters coming out to support the single mom. Now, that's not to say that Chunk didn't get his share of love as well, with many overlooking his murderous past, saying, hey, he was just doing what bears do. Katmai National Park says Fat Bear Week is the annual contest recognizing the weight that bears must gain for a successful winter hibernation. So your winner is in, Grazer, the winner of the Fat Bear contest. You remember that the contest was delayed, the start of the contest was delayed, because there was a battle to the death involving a couple of the bears that were in the running in the bracket. So it's, man, it is a violent, violent sport. It is a violent competition. What else is going on in the world? Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, an update on sales of recreational marijuana in the state of Ohio. Now the Ohio Division of Cannabis Control says they're reporting nearly $100 million in non-medical sales, recreational sales, during the first 60 days of legal adult use in the Buckeye State. Nearly $100 million in the first 60 days. Over 120 Ohio dispensaries have been making recreational and medical marijuana sales since early August. So $100 million in the first 60 days. Don't let anyone tell you that the demand is not there. Wow. Of course, the big news story is Hurricane Milton made landfall around Siesta Key, so south of Tampa, last night. And man, it was not just the hurricane. There were tornadoes, and not just weak tornadoes, pretty strong tornadoes ahead of the storm in parts of the state. So some places got hit by a tornado and then got hit by the hurricane. Besides, just crazy. Power is out for like 3 million customers. There is no water in St. Petersburg. They had to turn the water supply off, although they probably have more water than they know what to do with, but no drinking water. The public water system is turned off, so that is a real mess. And if you have a flight to catch today, be aware that you may be in for delays, because all of the flights in and out of Florida, obviously, schedules have been completely upended, And that will have a ripple effect throughout the entire airline system. So don't be surprised if you have to deal with delays and cancellations at the airports today, not just, you know, going to and from Florida, but elsewhere as well, because it all ties together. Definitely thinking very much of those folks in the Sunshine State today. This was kind of interesting among, and again, certainly one of the most interesting stories of the day. We are so wrapped up in our technology. Modern technology tends to make old technology obsolete. But sometimes people rediscover that maybe the old ways were the best. Maybe the old low-tech ways, maybe people are onto something. You don't need technology for everything. Nintendo is revealing a new piece of hardware in its tech gadget lineup. Nintendo, the video game giant, recently unveiled, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? An alarm clock. That's right. Nintendo, with a great hot new tech idea, the alarm clock. They call it the Alarmo. And it says you're motion activated, which is kind of interesting. It's motion activated, features sounds and music from Nintendo games, both old and new. It can play relaxing sounds to help you doze off in the evening and then will wake you up in the morning. And it features sleep tracking technology for the time in between. So it is a little bit more fancy than your traditional old-fashioned alarm clock. I remember when the snooze button was introduced. I remember the first alarm clock I got with a snooze button, and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. And now that's just, I thought the snooze button was cool, and look at what we've got now. By the way, this new Alarmo alarm clock from Nintendo goes for around $100, and it will drop early next year. However, if you are the proud owner of a Nintendo Switch console or a Nintendo Switch Online subscriber, I guess you can buy it now. So, you're interested in an alarm clock, you say? What a crazy idea! Speaking of technology, and this is interesting, sometimes I think we can rely on technology too much. New research out of Oregon State University. They put toddlers in a room with a basic robot. It's kind of like a Roomba vacuum. It's not like a Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons or anything like that. I mean, you're not talking about a sophisticated humanoid robot. We're just talking about a basic robot device. Like I say, it kind of looks like a Roomba. So they put these toddlers in this room with the robot, and the robot was programmed to blow bubbles and toss balls and, interact with the child. And kids, according to the research, kids were much more active when the robot was operating in a way that kept them engaged and involved. In other words, the robots kept the toddlers active. Researchers say the goal was not to replace caregivers with robots, but to give them a tool that can engage with children. And I'm thinking, or you can just play with your kids. I know it's a crazy thought, but you could just play with your kids. By the way, they say it could also be used with older adults. So, I know sometimes I think maybe we could just interact with other human beings. That's, there's always that. Why don't we try that? I think that might work. Got to use robots for this. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, and this is for those who wake up in the morning and work out first thing. I know that there are people who do that. I do not, of course, because interferes with my work schedule. Can't work out first thing in the morning. Some people do. Maybe you're listening right now as you are having your morning workout. Well, here is some good news. Research out of Finland has found that the effects of hitting the gym can last for 2 weeks. The study tracked brain and workout activity for 2 months using wearable devices. The lead researcher of the project, Anna Triana, what a great name, Anna Triana. She said, we wanted to go beyond isolated events. Our behavior and mental states, she says, are constantly shaped by our environment and our experiences. So bottom line, the team found that shifts in mood and heart rate lasted for up to 15 days post-workout. And effects on cognition and memory lasted for about a week on average. So, the takeaway from this that I'm reading from this is that you only have to work out every week or two. And that's, forget working out every day. You can just do this every week or two and you'll be fine. So there you go. If you needed an excuse to slack off for a day or two, now you have it. You're going to be just fine. You're welcome, America. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, mostly sunny again today with a high in the upper 60s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 40. The Findlay-Hancock County Chamber of Commerce presented its 2024 Small Business Awards at the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. The Small Business of the Year Award went to RCR Technology Group, and the Small Business Person of the Year was Joy Barger of the Swan House Tea Room. Each year, the Chamber highlights local individuals and companies who, through their independent entrepreneurial spirit, play a vital role in building the community and the economy. See the full list of winners at the Small Business Awards in this story on our website. The Bipartisan League of Women Voters of Ohio has announced the results of a study into the effects of gerrymandering on Ohio communities, the focus of this election season's Issue 1.
The research found that gerrymandered congressional districts, quote, do not reflect communities of interest. The study also found gerrymandering unnecessarily splits small villages, towns, neighborhoods, and school districts, quote, further diluting communities' political power. The League of Women Voters of Ohio also said their study found that gerrymandered congressional districts make it physically harder for citizens to find or visit the correct congressional district office.
Early voting is underway for the November 5th election. Ohio's political leaders are remembering a former Republican congressman from Cincinnati.
Former U.S. Representative David Hobson, whose 18 years in Congress included successful efforts to improve military housing and boost federal funding for Dayton's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, died on Sunday at the age of 87. Governor Mike DeWine remembered Hobson as a true public servant for the Miami Valley, a patriot who always wanted to do what was in America's best interests, and a good friend.
ONN's Angela Ann reporting. The Findlay High School student leadership class will be honoring Findlay veterans at a special dinner on Wednesday, November 6th at 6 p.m. in the Findlay High School cafeteria. The student leadership class says it hopes many people can attend this special evening and enjoy a free dinner. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, this is perhaps the least shocking statistic you will hear today. A new report finds that 88% of adults in the U.S. find it hard to understand the healthcare system. Don't know why that would be. It is, it's not like it's complicated or anything. With the time approaching when many people are going to be tasked with evaluating their benefit options, we are joined by Dr. Rhonda Randall from United Healthcare. I'm being a bit sarcastic, of course. Let's talk with some of the basics. First of all, this open enrollment period, we hear it as related to Medicare, of course, but you know, really anyone with a healthcare plan is coming up on kind of an open enrollment period here.
Yeah, that's right. Open enrollment season is underway. And as we look into health plans for next year, right now is the time to assess your healthcare coverage, your budget, your health needs, and choose the plan that is best suited to meet your needs. And you're absolutely right. Those open enrollment periods are different based on your situation. So if you're one of the 156 million people who get coverage through an employer-sponsored plan, you're generally going to have a 2 to 3 week period between now and the end of the year to make that election. You don't want to wait to the last minute, so pay attention for those communications coming from your employer so you understand when your open enrollment period is. If you're a Medicare beneficiary, the Medicare annual enrollment period starts next week. It runs from October the 15th through December the 7th every year. Mm-hmm. And if you're shopping for an individual plan on the health insurance marketplace, for most states, those open enrollment periods run from November 1st through January 15th. So all different, but we're in the season.
One of the things that makes it so confusing are the number of options. I mean, you've got employer plans, you've got individual plans, you've got optional coverages that many employers offer. There may even be multiple options for basic healthcare coverage, unlike years ago, where it's like, this is our health plan and that's it. Now there are so many different things, HSAs, FSAs, the ACA. What are some tips that can help people kind to make sense of it all?
Yeah, the first one is plan ahead, right? Because there's so much information to take into account, you don't want this to be a last minute decision where, you know, it's the evening that you need to lock in your decision and you feel like you haven't done your homework yet. So take the time now to understand your coverage options and your needs. The second is get to know those terms and get to know them before you start shopping. You can be overwhelmed with things like premiums and deductibles and copays and coinsurance. Maybe you speak a different language and you want something available in your native language. So we have a Just Plain Clear glossary that you can access, or it's called justplainclear.com is that website. And for Medicare beneficiaries, that website is MedicareMadeClear.com that offers all of those explanations. And you're absolutely right. A lot can change in a year. Many people are happy with their current plan, but you want to make sure that there are no significant changes for next year, like medications, for example.
Yeah, that is one of the things that I want to talk a little bit about, because for a lot of folks, it comes down to cost. I understand the cost is important, but it is not always the be all and end all. How do we find a plan that works within our budget?
So you're looking at two things, cost and coverage, and then comparing them with your needs, which are your budget and your healthcare situation. So to prevent unexpected costs, couple tips I have. Number one, make sure your doctor is in that health plan's network. Going to an in-network physician is going to generally lower your out-of-pocket costs. Mm-hmm. The second one is around medications. If you take any medications, check to see that your medicine is covered by the plan on that preferred drug list, for example, and recognize that that can change from year to year. Look at specialty benefits and other things that might be covered, like mental health benefits, for example. Medicare beneficiaries might be surprised to recognize that original Medicare generally doesn't cover things like dental, vision, and hearing benefits. Right. But many Medicare Advantage plans do. And mental health coverage is another one. Behavioral health needs have become a topic of conversation more so over the last few years. And a lot of plans are going to offer virtual behavioral health services, for example, and some of them will offer those virtual visits at $0 copay. So those are some things that you're going to want to look into to see if you can help keep your out-of-pocket costs lower.
And as we mentioned, even for basic health care plans, your employer, if you get your insurance through your employer, may offer various tiers with different premiums, but they all carry different deductibles, different co-payments, may have different coverages involved. And the one big thing about cost is that an inexpensive plan isn't so inexpensive if it leaves you paying out of pocket for too many things, but on the other hand, the plan at the top end may not be a money saver if it covers things that you don't need. So again, it speaks to finding the right plans with the right benefits, which is going to be different for everyone, and goes back to what you were saying about taking your time and starting early.
Right. There is no one size fits all, right? So it's understanding your individual needs and the choices that are available to you. Now, some of the other things that you might want to take a look at, is if there's a plan available that has rewards for healthy behaviors, right? Exercising, avoiding smoking, completing your healthcare survey. You might be able to get an incentive from your health plan for those kinds of things. And many Medicare Advantage plans are going to offer a gym membership at no additional cost.
So a lot of things that go into making these selections every year, and if the time has not arrived yet for you, it will soon. Now is the time to start thinking about what you really need and what you really want out of your healthcare and benefits package. Again, Dr. Rhonda Randall is with us from United Healthcare. You also have another website that can help folks navigate and answer some of these questions.
We do. For some tips, some resources, information on plans in your area, our website is uhcopenenrollment.com.
And I'll tell you, that is a tremendous resource with an awful lot of great information on just about any question you may have with regard to open enrollment. Dr. Randall, thanks very much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Be well.
Got a really cool event coming up later this month to benefit the folks at Flag City Honor Flight. It is the annual Wanderlust fundraising event hosted by CLA, Clifton Larson Allen, the accounting firm with offices here in Findlay. Of course, Amanda Lewis is with us from CLA to talk more about it. Wanderlust, it is a New York theme this year, I understand. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, the theme this year is Wanderlust, a bite out of the Big Apple.
Aha. So going to be an awful lot of fun. As we mentioned, a benefit for Honor Flight. Joining us this morning also in the studio is Carl Schwobel. He is a local veteran who recently visited Washington, D.C. Were you on the last Honor, the most recent Honor Flight?
Year before last.
Okay, year before last. So it's been a little while, but you can speak to just how significant this trip is. What did that mean to you to be able to go on that Honor Flight trip?
Well, I'll try to make a long story short. I went in the Army at age 18 in 1955.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And from that point forward to today, I've been blessed with a lot of wonderful experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most emotional and memorable experiences was going on Honor Flight.
What made that so special?
There were numerous things that made it special. The trip from Findlay to the Toledo Airport,
mm-hmm.
with police escorts,
yeah.
motorcycle group escort. We never stopped for a red light. We had two busloads full of veterans. And once we arrived in Toledo, we went into one of the hangars,
mm-hmm.
where we were served a huge breakfast.
Yeah.
And from that point forward, we boarded buses that took us to the airplane,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, flew to Washington, D.C. National
yeah.
Airport.
Yeah.
Upon arrival at the airport, one of the things that surprised all of us was the fact that they had the big fire hose tank trucks that showered the airplanes. Needless to say, it was a wonderful welcome to D.C.
Treated you like royalty.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, from beginning to end, morning till night, we were, I like to use the word tears and cheers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were cheered as we entered the commercial terminal by people going in all directions.
Yeah.
As we walked through the hallways, people were applauding.
People just happened to be there.
Commercial.
Yeah.
These were people who
Regular passengers. Yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere we went, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Pat you on the back. Shake your hand.
Yeah. Now, had you been to D.C. before? Because I know for many veterans, this is the first opportunity they have had, and that's really kind of the mission of Flag City Honor Flight, to get the veterans to D.C. to see the memorials that were built in their honor, and many have not been before. Had you been?
I had been to Washington, D.C. before, but I had not had the opportunity to visit all the war memorials that honored these guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, I think that's where some of the tears came in.
Yeah,
you know, as some of the vets visited, whether it was World War II, Korea, Vietnam, when they looked at those memorials, or we drove by the memorials, you could see some of them really had some emotional outbursts.
And Amanda, hearing that story just really solidifies the meaning of the purpose of what you do with Wanderlust to make this happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the fundraiser coming up on October the 25th. That is a Friday evening. And as we said, New York theme. Talk about what's going on here.
Yeah, definitely. So October 25th, it's a Friday from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Marathon Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets are $70 each. We'll have New York themed food, music, entertainment. And like you said, just really trying to raise money for Flag City Honor Flight. So we'll have a number of live auction items, anything from experiences. There's actually a New York City getaway with a show at the Lincoln Center,
a trip
to Mexico, a trip to St. Martin, as well as a vintage bottle of bourbon for any bourbon lovers out there, a ladies bracelet, Tiffany's sunglasses. And like you said, all the proceeds will go to support Flag City Honor Flight in the future trips to come.
100% of those proceeds. Correct. Because there are so many more veterans like Carl who we need to get to Washington, D.C., and it's just an amazing endeavor that involves so many people who are all volunteers. That's the other thing that is really cool. And an event like this, you know that 100% of the monies are going for that purpose.
Yep, they sure are.
Yeah. How do folks get tickets for this?
So we have a website. You can reach out to our office and we can direct you to that. But there's a website out there. If you would search Wanderlust Findlay, Ohio 2024, people can go online and purchase their tickets there. Oh. Or you could stop by our office and we could help you with that as well.
Okay, very good. And Carl, for any veteran that has thought about signing up, and I know that there's a waiting list, there always is, clearly you would recommend it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I certainly would. You know, priority is given to the vets from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam.
Right.
But all veterans are eligible
to
apply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a problem. And yes, you may have to wait before you can get on one of the trips. But in my case, I didn't have to wait very long. I think it's really important for the public to know that Honor Flight, Flag City Honor Flight, has taken over 1,900 vets to D.C.
Yeah.
And I believe they completed their 28th mission this past September.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important to know that Honor Flight is a nonprofit organization.
Right.
And so the funding for Honor Flight comes from organizations who donate, individuals who donate.
And events like this.
The Honor Flight trips.
Right.
I mean, that's how it's paid for.
And how you were talking about the emotion when you the reaction that you get from people when you're on an Honor Flight. But imagine it also does your heart good to see the kind of support that you get within the community, the people who donate and put on events like this that continue to make it happen.
Oh, absolutely. The organization of Honor Flight is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The volunteers that were in Toledo for breakfast, the volunteers that one of the big surprises for the vets was when we got home at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and they took us back into this hangar when we walked in the door, the place was packed. It was packed with families and friends who were cheering and applauding. That was a wonderful conclusion. They showered us with their love. And they gave us gifts and all kinds of acknowledgement. Yeah. And I think the important thing was, yes, it did get to you, because I think there were a lot of vets who thought they were forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And this proved they were not forgotten.
It's a reminder for all of us. And again, if folks want tickets, they can get them anytime. The event is Friday, October the 25th, right? I've got the date right. Want to make sure that I get that right, first and foremost. And this is going to be an awful lot of fun, aside from the Honor Flight thing, and it just makes it even better that it's, you know, for Honor Flight. How do folks get tickets once again?
Yep, so we have a website out there. If you search for Wanderlust Findlay, Ohio 2024, you'll be able to find it. Or you can stop by our CLA Findlay office, and we can help you get there.
All right. Amanda Lewis from CLA and Carl Schwobel with Flag City Honor Flight, representing Flag City Honor Flight, one of the veterans on one of those trips here not all that long ago. Guys, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A man in Southfield, Michigan has pleaded no contest after he was accused of shooting a Chipotle worker over what he considered to be a stingy serving of guacamole. I mean, if you ever had that happen, you go to a restaurant and, you know, you get, you know, what you get shorted on your order in some way. In this case, less than generous helping of guacamole at a Chipotle restaurant. And I think, you know, that's a reasonable reaction to that. Just shoot the worker. Officials say Aaron Brown called an employee a derogatory name after he was upset with his serving, and then attempted to go behind the counter of the restaurant. When an employee attempted to stop him, Mr. Brown pulled out a gun and shot the employee in the knee. He pleaded no contest to a charge with assault with intent to do great bodily harm and a felony firearm charge. There were two other charges involved that were both dropped in the plea agreement. He shot a guy over the serving of guacamole. All right. Get more next time, I guess. Also in Michigan. A couple of stories out of Michigan here this morning. Oakland County police say a man is in custody after allegedly shooting two other men over a dice game. Police say they were called to an apartment in Pontiac on Tuesday morning. On reports of shots fired, officers found 20-year-old Sidney Ward III and 24-year-old Tyrone Davis Glenn Jr. had been shot multiple times. The police say they believe a 35-year-old suspect shot the victims after losing $80 in a price game, in a dice game. $80. Just imagine all of the guacamole you could buy at Chipotle with it. Reasonable responses. That's reasonable and proportional responses to upsetting events. That's what we're talking about here. Let's see here. Elsewhere in the broken news, odd and unusual side of the headlines, a small plane in Oceanside, California. The pilot of the plane is from Oceanside, California. He was going back home from Mesa, Arizona, forced to make an emergency landing on a highway in Los Angeles. But that, as it turned out, was the least of his problems. After talking to police, because you can't land a plane on a highway without getting the police involved. If you land a plane on a highway, chances are good police are going to get involved. After talking with the cops, 36-year-old Troy Smith allegedly removed a package from the backpack he was carrying and tossed it into the bushes when he thought the cops weren't looking. However, police did notice and retrieved the package, after which they tested the contents of the package, and it turned out it was positive for cocaine. Suddenly, landing a plane on the highway doesn't seem like such a big deal. Mr. Smith, who was already the target of an investigation by the DEA and U.S. Postal Service for allegedly shipping drugs in the mail from Oceanside to various U.S. locations, was arrested. And no word on the plane. What happened to the plane? It's taken away from the scene. I don't know. They just left the plane on the highway, or but maybe they towed it someplace. No idea. But oh, I guess it turns out he was not the pilot of the plane. He was a passenger. They arrested him, and they arrested the pilot. It turns out the pilot knew what was going on all along. Landing on the highway, not the big part of that story. You would think. From the international file, the broken news this morning, the Cookie Monster has been framed. A driver wearing a costume of the iconic Sesame Street character was captured on a traffic cam in Dortmund, Germany, allegedly speeding down a highway. Police suspect the driver intentionally donned the costume as a disguise so he wouldn't be caught speeding. And while police insist that they have nothing against Cookie Monster personally, or any of the other Muppets for that matter, the fun of wearing a mask can quickly turn serious. Police point out that it won't help the relatives of a person who has been seriously injured or even killed if the individual did it tearfully regrets their mask fun in court. While the owner of the vehicle is known, they got that from the license plate, it is unclear if the owner of the vehicle was, in fact, the masked driver. But the investigation continues. Cookie Monster in trouble with the law. Cookie Monster's in trouble. He's in trouble. And finally, in the broken news, how about this for a crazy story? And this is out of Britain, where a reformed inmate, now a working mother with school-age children, has been ordered back to jail to serve the remaining 12 weeks of her sentence because 20 years ago she missed a probation appointment. 20 years ago she missed one probation appointment. She's been clean ever since. The woman had been allowed to finish the remaining 12 weeks of her sentence outside of prison through a program meant to ease prison overpopulation. But she had to meet certain conditions, one of which was attending regular probation meetings. And in 2005, she missed one. Her failure to show apparently fell through the cracks and wasn't discovered until just recently. So despite having a spotless record ever since she was released from jail, she's a working mom, has school-age children, she has been ordered to serve the remaining 12 weeks in jail. And the report, which is in the British newspaper The Metro, the report says she also lost her job in the community and was not allocated any work or other activities during her time in the prison. The nature of her original crime was not revealed, but she has been a model citizen ever since for 20 years because she missed one probation appointment. It's back to jail for 12 weeks. Ow. Man, they aren't messing around. There you go. That is today's broken news report. Update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Join WFIN for live coverage of the 2024 Cops and Kids Finley Halloween Parade, presented by Loan Depot. Our broadcast begins at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, October 22nd.
Parade coverage on WFIN, presented by Visit Findlay and brought to you in part by Wolfie's, Fort Finley FOP Lodge, Logan's Irish Pub, and T.R. Williams Insurance.
The Halloween Parade is live on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It won't be long before the holiday season is here, and before you know it, we'll be hosting gatherings of family and friends for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, all coming up on the calendar. And chances are good that one of your guests may get kitchen envy. Or perhaps if you are visiting someone else's home, you might have kitchen envy at some point. It is a real thing. 61% of Americans get jealous of a nice kitchen. 61% of Americans admit that they have kitchen envy. This is a survey of 2,000 adults commissioned by Thermidor. They found that 44% experience kitchen appliance envy, specifically an appliance in the kitchen that they are envious of. 25% of respondents in the survey are likely to snoop around in someone's kitchen when they are a guest in the home. And 36% have snooped around someone else's refrigerator specifically. Two-thirds of those in the survey say they do so not to be nosy, but rather to find inspiration on enhancing their own kitchen space. 67% of Gen Zers also get kitchen inspiration from YouTube. And I didn't even know you can get that on YouTube, but apparently you can do anything on YouTube. So there you go. 42% of those in the survey have a new refrigerator at the top of their wish list. The kitchen, according to Beatrice Sandoval, Thermidor, the kitchen is the central space in the home, and homeowners aspire to create an environment that reflects personal taste and lifestyle. And so it makes sense. This is where everybody gathers in the kitchen, so you want to put your best foot forward. Appliances designed to inspire with innovative features and luxury design offer consumers the ability to create a kitchen that they will love. I thought it was interesting. Two-thirds of people admit to having kitchen envy. Really looking forward to being there for the Halloween parade once again this year. Going to be broadcasting the parade live on air and online. The live Facebook stream. Going to be an awful lot of fun. Myself and my wife Kyra will host the festivities. Always look forward to that. And all of the folks that are down there, all of the kids getting all the candy. By the way, speaking of Halloween candy, according to the latest data from the online candy store, candystore.com, Blow Pops are topping the list of Ohio's most popular Halloween candy this year. Blow Pops in Ohio. Their order data shows that is the most ordered treat, ordered candy in the Buckeye State. M&M's took the second spot, and Sour Patch Kids claimed third. By the way, M&M's, the overall favorite across the country, the National Retail Federation estimates that Americans will spend about $3.5 billion on candy by the end of this month. $3.5 billion in candy. You can probably add an extra $500 million or so for the Halloween parade itself. But going to be an awful lot of fun. It is that time of year, the spooky season. You know what else is right around the corner? Hockey season. Won't be long until the Trojans are back out on the ice. And Findlay Hockey Day is coming up this Saturday to get fans geared up for the season. Last week on the Coach's Corner from Ralphie's last Wednesday evening, Cliff Brown and Findlay head coach Ben Patey joined John Marshall to talk about Findlay Hockey Day.
Cliff, you've got an event coming up. Tell us all about it. So October 12th, Hockey Day.
Well, Hockey Fun Day is an exciting event to bring young players in there to have some fun, play a lot of games that we've set up, have some food from some of our sponsors, just to promote the game itself, because we want these young people to play hockey for Findlay High School. That's what makes us keep going every year. We go through our Findlay Amateur Hockey Association, FAHA. That's where we get our players from. So we want these young people to start playing hockey, and we got a great facility in the Cube here to be able to play. So we want everybody to come on out and have some fun on the 12th, and it's from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the high school.
3 to 5 at the high school. I understand it's going to be back right by the tennis courts, correct?
Yes, right by the tennis courts. We'll be all set up there with the food vendors, and all the games will be set up out there, and it's just going to be a fun day.
You guys have done such a great job over the years, going back decades. Just like any sport, you have kids that have experience when they get to the high school to play at an elite level. This would appear to be a way to introduce those youngsters to the joys of hockey. Unlike Canada, Ben, it's not baked into the DNA of kids necessarily around here. So there is certainly a certain amount of promotion that's required to get kids interested.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. We try to get out to the schools and talk to them. We get information out to them. We want the kids to come to hockey games and watch the games themselves. That's how they get hooked. And because we have a FAHA night where all the FAHA kids can come in and get in free. And so when we go around to the schools and try to make sure they're all aware of it, so that we get a lot of participation to come to our games. And that's what drives it, too. They see the game and they say, oh, I want to play that. I want to do that. We say, well, come on out. We'll teach you to skate. That's the first thing.
That's right. Now, unlike basketball, soccer, baseball, football, real hockey requires an ice sheet, not something that you can do in the backyard all summer like you may do with some of those other sports. Street hockey is a warm weather substitute, but that doesn't quite emulate the game on the ice.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. But we actually participate in the summer. We do get some ice at the Cube in June, and we have bought about 7 or 8 hours there, and we could have practice, and then we play in a tournament that's always held in Tam O'Shanter in Toledo, a summer tournament, and teams like St. Ed's comes over with teams, some teams from Canada even come down and play in that. So the kids get a chance. We get a chance to see a lot of the kids that we have never seen before, the young ones, the freshmen, be able to participate in that tournament. So it doesn't always end. Hockey never ends, actually. We work out all summer with TRX, and we go to CrossFit. Our kids are lifting weights. They're constantly working hard all summer, and we do a lot of community service stuff in the summer.
That's right. Now, Ben, I mentioned how hard it is to think about hockey just now with the weather still in the 70s and 80s, but that's certainly going to change soon. You had a successful season a year ago, going 28-4. What do you have back going into this winter, and how have you been preparing? Cliff mentioned it here during the offseason, the weight room. It's all about bigger, faster, stronger anymore, right?
I wouldn't say it's bigger. I think that's kind of shifted over the last few years. Now it's just faster and stronger. So that's what we've been really trying to focus on the last couple years, and just to be a tough team to play against, and that's kind of been our focus.
As Cliff mentioned, the FAHA program is all about being the feeder to get those kids the experience, get the skates under them so that they can skate like champions and get out there and do all the things that you're asking them to do.
Right. We have an excellent relationship with the FAHA board members and the majority of the teams, for that matter. So, they've built a strong feeder system, and we couldn't be more grateful to have them. So, our success relies heavily on what they do.
Now, when can you start workouts? I think there's, 33 contests on the schedule this year, so it's coming really soon.
Yeah, it's about a month away, I'd say, before our first scrimmage game, but officially we cannot start until October 25th. However, we are already in week 3 of what we call captain practices, so the players will practice amongst themselves with no coaches on the ice. However, we're allowed to be in the building. Our captains run those practices. They do that Monday through Thursday every morning. So by the time I get to them, they've probably had about 20, 25 practices. So they're ready to go, and we just kind of build layers from there.
Anytime's a good time to talk hockey. Findlay High School coach Ben Patey along with Cliff Brown, thanks for coming out tonight and doing just that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's our conversation, John Marshall on the Coach's Corner with Cliff Brown and Coach Ben Patey. Findlay Hockey Day coming up on Saturday, 3 to 5 p.m. at Findlay High School. It is going to be a lot of fun. They'll have street hockey and shots on net and chuck-a-puck and also a nine-square cornhole. They've got inflatables, face painting, free food, tailgate food. Get you in the spirit. They will have Findlay Hockey Spirit Wear available and information about Findlay Youth Hockey programs there as well. Everybody invited, Findlay Hockey Day on Saturday from 3 to 5. If you want to learn more, you can check our webpage at goodmornings.net. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it was William Shakespeare who once warned that you should neither a borrower nor a lender be. And according to a new bank rate survey, it's still good advice some 400 years later. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow to finish up the week.